Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's just great to be here to be with the brothers and sisters. You know, it's as we study and share the books of Acts at the Friday night fellowship meetings. You know, we know that there's so much against gatherings of the saints. So I think we should be very thankful that we can come together, to worship the Lord, to fellowship of the Lord together. Today is my first time. It's kind of scary standing up here. but I'm sure the Lord has the grace. Let's turn to the Gospel of John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" Verse 60. And then verse 66 to 68. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." Let's also turn to the 2 Timothy chapter 4. The first part of verse 11. "Only Luke is with me." And also verse 16, the first part of 16. "At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me." And then also the same chapter, verse 7 and 8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearance." And also to all who have loved his appearance. And then we are back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." Let's bow our head and pray and come to the front of the Lord. Dear Lord, we do want to give thanks to you. Lord, it's your mercy and your grace. Lord, we can gather together. Lord, to fellowship in you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you thank you for your presence to be with us. Lord, it's our heart cry out to you. Lord, that we want to see Jesus. Lord, it's maybe that in our time together, a time of fellowship, Lord, help us to behold your glory. Lord, may your word be active in our hearts. Lord, as we come together to share your words, oh Lord, work in our hearts. Lord, we do want to ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, without the Spirit, nothing can be accomplished. Oh Lord, may it be that, Lord, open our eyes and open our ears. We want to see Jesus. Lord, we do thank you. And we ask in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's the background of John chapter 6. It starts off with Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then he left. And then the next day, the multitude found him again. And the Lord said, "You come because I feed you last time. You come for the food." And the Lord asked them to say it. Bring up a discourse. It's very difficult for them to hear. You know, the Lord said, You need to eat my flesh. You need to drink my blood. And that's very hard for the people. You know, it's within that context. The people, the multitudes are looking at things on the earth. How can that be? How can that happen? But the Lord is talking about something in the something deeper. The Lord is asking, commune with me, union with me. That's what I'm after. You know, it's in the text in the Bible, it says many left. Many of the disciples left. And he asked Peter, and he turned around and asked the 12 disciples, do you all want to leave too? Peter said, you have the word of life eternal. Where can we go? You know, it's the life on this earth, from the earth perspective, it's sometimes really crisis, crisis and crisis. You know, it's we go through life, maybe with a lot of surprise, a lot of sufferings. There are times where we sit down and really ask the questions. Is it worth a while to follow the law? You know, it's or maybe the law asks us that question. Is it worthwhile? Is it truly worthwhile? I pray that our answer is the same as Peter. He has the word of eternal life. Where can we go? You know, yes, sir, I also read here, it's from the epistle of Timothy, the second Timothy. It's, you know, it's that's the last writing, as recorded in the Bible, by Paul. It's he wrote that before he wrote that in a Roman prison cell. He's about to be executed, and he writes to Timothy. Paul served the law at that time for over 30 years. As recorded in the Bible, there are three missionary journeys. He travels over all Europe. He brings many believers to Christ. But yet at the end, as I read in Timothy, he says, everyone deserted me. Everyone. Only Luke was with him. You know, it's as I sit down and really meditate on these questions, if anyone should be despair, that should be Paul. You know, after all these years, after working for the Lord so hard for 30 some years, that's not, well, in terms of physical things, that's not a crown. There's no positions. He's in a Roman cell, so lonely. But yet he said, he has finished the course. I lost. Yet he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course and I have kept faith. And he's looking forward to something that's better. He's looking for the crown of righteousness that's laid up for him in heaven. And he also said that it's not only for him, but it's also for everyone who loves his appearance. I think that's an encouragement. You know, it's we can go through life with all kind of not pleasant things, right? All kind of troubles, all kind of sufferings, but there's something at the end for the lost children. That's what I want to share today. The text is mainly from the book of Philippians. I think we can see that it's, if you read Philippians, what jumps out is Paul has a heart for the Lord. Paul is running a race. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, verse 13 and 14 is that, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I often were interested in simple words. You know, it's a simple word that Paul used. Right here, it's what catch me is the word one. One thing I do. You know, it's if you have something to one, it becomes two. It's no longer one, right? If you take something away, then it becomes zero. It's no longer one. So it really means to me is Paul is aiming at one thing. There's no distractions. He's aiming at the end. What the Lord wants to take hold of him. So we can say that Paul is really single-minded, single-hearted, to go after what the Lord has prepared for him. Sometimes you learn from contrast. You know, it's rather than looking at Paul, maybe we, even in the same chapter, Paul is talking about, Paul shared that what's not single-minded. I think from that we might learn how to be single-minded. In chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, same chapter here. Let me read. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now I tell you even weeping, that you are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Now we can say that this is not single-minded. This is not the heading where Paul is heading, right? It's here he says the enemies of the cross of Christ. I think that's a very sad thing. That's a very horrible conditions. But you may say, well, maybe Paul is talking to non-believers. But we can't get around that. It's in chapter 1, verse 1, it's clearly the letters written to the believers, to the saints at Philippians. So it's written many to the believers. The enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, it's sometimes, I think we do thank the Lord that he died for us. He paid the penalties. You know, he satisfied God. But there's also at the other side, it's, we often say is, the Lord died as us. To die for us, he died as us. In the second book, in the second letter to Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 14, Paul wrote, that one died for all, therefore all die. I think that to the believers, as we walk with the Lord, that is truly good news. You know, it's, we no longer have to live on our own. Our old life is crucified together with the Lord. You know, sometimes we may accept, yeah, I hear that, I heard that before. You know, sometimes we say, yeah, I accept that as the truth. But yet, when the truth is not operational in our life, that become problems. It's Brother Jack Cox speak of laying down the old life a couple of weeks ago. I think I really don't need to elaborate on these points. Now it's, if you don't let the cause operate on our life, what might happen? What's the horrible thing that lead up to you? It's, here's one of the translation. I think the old translation is, of verse 17. Actually, one of the old translations of verse 19. It's, you read, the appetite become our God. Right. It's instead of worshiping God, we worship our appetites. We worship we satisfy the lust of the body. You know, that's, it's in the first letter of John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, John pointed out that if you do that, then the love of the Father is not in you. So it's when we are willing to let the cross work in our life, we begin to try to satisfy the lust of the body. And that's not God's way. You know, it's God's order is clearly is to have the spirit to be supreme, to have the soul subjected to the spirit, and then to have the body serve the soul. He also spoke of vain glories. You know, it's all you can achieve in this world. You know, and if we do pursue after that, what happens is we'll be pursuing after earthly things. You know, as Paul said here, the mind of earthly things, things we can see, things we can feel. Things may make us happy for a moment. And that become our focus. And that become, it's the focus of some of the sins in Philippians. And then we lost the focus on the law. We lost the focus to that end. And Paul warned us that. He said, if you go down that path, the end is destructions. The end is destructions. But if we do, you know, it's turn around and say, oh, now that's, we don't really want to be that way, right? And we look at Paul's life. Paul's life as demonstrated in Philippians chapter 3. It's, we can read from verse 4 to verse 6. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've accounted as loss for the sake of Christ. You know, it's Paul, before he was saved, you know, he's quite a successful young man. He's a real Jew in a sense, right? Hebrews of Hebrews. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. He's the Pharisee. He studied under the best Pharisee at his time. And he knew the law. And as far as the law is concerned, he is fine blameless. What else can you say about this young man? He's so good. But he say, all that he has achieved at that time, he's willing to put it down. And he said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've accounted as loss. For one reason, for the sake of Christ. You know, that is living a crucified life. That's not like the other one, right? You know, it's, again, as I speak of little words, you know, I try to share what one means. It's here Paul uses another word. Verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He used a small word again, all, A-L-L. You know, it's, when you say all, you take something now. It's no longer all anymore, right? All means everything. All means it's all inclusive. It's everything. So, here's Paul is saying, Now, comparing to the excellency of the full knowledge of Christ, I want to lay down all, everything. Now, there is someone that's running the race. Now you may say, well, Paul is Paul. It's not me. Paul is a great man. Well, I do believe he doesn't think himself as a great man, because Paul really means small. But do I have any hope to be like that? Do any one of us to have hope like that? I think there are good news. There are truly good news in chapter 3 here. You know, it's, first of all, it's, let me find the words. verse 12 here. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold by Christ Jesus. It's sometimes we think that we are trying, we are running after the Lord himself, but actually it's not that way. It's the Lord trying to hold our hands. You know, it's, I used to have small kids, but now they're grown now. You know, it's, I still remember when I took them to the market, you know, to a supermarket or to the mall or something, I would say, hold on to my hands, you're going to get lost here. Of course they get lost, right? It's the nature for young kids to run around. But it's also the heart of parents to keep their eyes on them. And you know where they are. I think it's more so the same way with the Lord himself. You know, it's the Lord knows where we are. The Lord is more concerned of us than we are concerned about ourselves. You know, it's, I'm often impressed by the story, by the parable that's in Luke chapter 15, the third one, the parable of the lost son. You know, how the father is waiting by the door for the son to come back. You know, that is the love of God. And also that is what's recorded in Luke chapter 22. It's, well, we all know Peter. You know, it's when the Lord said, you all deserted me. Peter said, not me. Right? It's, and the Lord said, Simon, that's Luke chapter 22, verse 31, 32. Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, but I make supplication for thee, for you, that your faith fail not. The Lord pray for Simon, before he act, actually, in this case. So, we are trying to take hold of the Lord himself, or the Lord is taking hold of us. It's really the Lord is pursuing us in this case. And also in 2 Timothy, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13, it says that if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, you know, it's, we are really in a safe place. It's, how often? Well, at least I admit that how often I am unfaithful. But yet he remains faithful. So it's truly not because of us. It's because of the Lord himself. So that's number one. That's very really good news. Number two. Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. It's Paul is talking about his own history here. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. For the tribe of Benjamin. You know, it's Benjamin, if we go back to Genesis, the history of Benjamin, the birth of Benjamin is recorded in Genesis 30, chapter 35. It's Jacob left his father-in-law, Laban, and God bring him back to Bethel, okay, and Jacob built an altar there. And after that, he traveled, he sojourned in the countryside, and his wife, Rachel, gave birth to Benjamin, and his wife died. Rachel died. Rachel wanted to call this boy the son of my affections, but Jacob called him Benjamin, which means the son of right hand, the son of power. You know, it's Benjamin himself. It's coming out from death. Rachel died, and that's Benjamin. I think that's a lesson there. And also, if you look at Paul's own spiritual histories, it's recorded in Acts 7, verse 58 to 60. Here again, it's Stephen was caught away. They're going to stone Stephen. Verse 58, when they had driven him out, that Stephen, out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witness lay aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now you know that's Paul here, right? And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knee, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. You know, it's even though it seemed to be, you know, Stephen is praying this general prayer, said, do not hold this sin against them. I would say that also includes Stephen in there. Include Paul in there, right? So, Paul's beginning, we may say that it's a travail of Stephen's. It's the death of Stephen that bring along Paul. So it's, you know, as before I share today, the brothers come up, hey, Tech, we pray for you. I think that really comes from my heart. You know, it's oftentimes, when I'm weak and get a phone call, Tech, we prayed for you last night. Our focus on the Lord has a lot to do with the travailing of our brothers and sisters. It has a lot to do with the prayers of sins. You know, and here also, it's in chapter 3, let's go back there. It's Philippians chapter 3. Verse 18. You know, Paul talk about, you know, these believers that's walking the way of the world, being the enemies of the cross. But Paul writes, and now I tell you, even weeping. You know, that is Paul's heart. That's the heart of the Father. That's Paul's heart toward the saint who's not running the race. So it's what I'm trying to say is, it has a lot to do with others. It has a lot to do with the brothers and sisters. It's not even you. So that's good news. Number 3 is, the text is from John chapter 17, verse 3. Here's the Lord said, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. That's very interesting. It's I think here's the Lord trying to equate knowing him and eternal life. It cannot be interpreted any other way. You know, it's, as we are children of God, as we are believers, we have that life in us. And it's that nature in us that's craving to know the Lord Himself. You know, it's like, well, some of you may know that we have, recently we have a puppy. Okay, puppy chew on everything. Right. So, Emily always says, how come he chew on everything? How come he bite me? I say, well, you know, that's the nature of a puppy, of a dog's life. You know, it's really in the same way. God's life in us. God's life in us has that nature, that desire to know Him, to come to know the full knowledge of our Lord Himself. So it's in us. It's in us already, that desire. There's no escape, actually. And that's good news. Let's see. I'll still have time. There's actually more good news. It's, if we again think about Paul's beginnings, you know, it's how Paul was the enemies of God, how he persecuted the church. That's the way he put it. It's really God sent him out. God met him on the road to Damascus. This great light appeared to him. You know, it's really demonstrated. It's the love of God that's shed in the hearts of Paul. And Paul himself confessed, you know, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer that I live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up to me. You know, it's, brothers and sisters, it's the Lord who loves us. That's the motivation inside Paul. That's the fire inside Paul that allow him to aim at the ends, to finish the race at the ends. Now, it's so that's, again, it's good news. It's something in you already, right? Now, there's more to come, actually. I'm sure some of you know babies. Babies are wonderful, actually. It's, you know, it's, you know, when baby grows up, when baby begin to crawl around, to walk around, they get into all kinds of things. Sometimes they get into all kinds of troubles. But they like to explore. Everything seems to be so new to them. You know, it's all the environments, all the things. The Lord's like that to us. You know, it's Paul, 30-some years, pursuing after, want to know the Lord himself. You know, it's Paul has great experience. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus, right? He went to the Arabian desert to meditate on God's words. God revealed his heart to him. Even in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it mentioned that Paul was caught up to third heavens. How wonderful that is. But still, you know, it's when you come down to Philippians chapter 3, he said that from verse 12 to 14, he said, I'm not there. I'm not there. He said, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on. I press on. If so be that I may lay hold on that which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. So, it's really, it's walking with the Lord, discover Him every day, moment by moment. There should never be a dull moment in our life. It's, praise the Lord for that. You know, it's, I was quite touched by Paul's prayers. I remember that. What I remember is the first time when I came to Richmond Conference, 1995, I think that's the first time. About the land share, And he used the prayers, the post prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Post prayers, he's not giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. Spirit of wisdom and revelations. I think, you know, it's to know the Lord, to reach the ends. It shouldn't be boring. It should not be doubt. It's really, the Lord is willing to reveal himself to us. What we need to do, what we have to do is to ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelations. Two more points. It's some practical encouragements. I actually have not get a chance to see an eye doctor for a while. So my wife said, go see an eye doctor. Said, okay, all right, you make an appointment, and I show up at the doctor's office, right? It's kind of interesting. You know, sit down in these chairs, and they put a lens on you. They adjust the lens and say, oh, that's really good. Now I see clear, right? And then they fit another one in and say, well, is it better or worse? So we do learn by looking, by comparisons, by looking at the difference. Now, if you look at, I'm sure we all read the Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews. It's maybe you get a lot of things out of it. But one thing that sort of stands out is, if you see the Lord as far superior on everything else, I think that is the bottom line. Right? Let me just quote a few verses. It's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, even Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the chief spoils. The first one is referred to Moses. Moses, the faithful servant of God. Now, if you look at Moses himself, say, Moses is a great man. No complaint. You know, if you look at Abraham, he's the father of faith. What else can he say? But if we come to look at the Lord himself, there's no comparisons. It's really, what I'm trying to say is, focus your eyes on the Lord. He's far superior than any man's we know. He's far superior than any circumstances that we know. You know, it's circumstances we talk about. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he mentioned that our citizenship is in heaven. You know, I don't know whether you travel as much as I am. We came here, it's sort of like a long way sometimes. Especially Friday night. I don't know why. For the last three or four times, we always stuck that traffic jam. we are sitting in a car. I say, well, so we take a different road, but you don't know. You don't know how far is the traffic jam, what the problem is, right? But if you're sitting in your car, that's all you see. Cars around you, you get stuck in the middle, and you really can't go anywhere. But then if you are instead of sitting in a car, if you're in the helicopters, and you can look far ahead, then you say, here's the problem. I can take this road and just really go around the problems. I think, you know, even though that's a physical condition, but the lesson to me is, sometimes when I look at circumstances the way it is, it's really horrible. No way else. But Paul encourages us, we are citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are not earthly people. We are heavenly people. You know, it's a lot of time is a matter of perspective. It's a matter of viewpoints. It's a matter of whether you're looking from an earthly viewpoint or from a heavenly viewpoint. It's very clear. It's when Paul mentioned in Philippians, when he mentioned the believers who are enemies of the cross, they are taking the earthly viewpoint. They are taking what's around them, what satisfies them. But he sort of like it's to us, we are not that way. Paul is not that way. To which the ends, we need to take that heavenly viewpoint. And also, in other words, I think we share that often. But often, Jesus, the initiator and the finisher of faith. It's but if you do continue in to verse 3, he said, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and have sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that have endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye rest not very fainting in your soul." I think it's that really addresses the matter of suffering. You know, physically, sometimes we suffer. There's no way out of it. Our Lord Himself suffered. He suffered on the cross. He endured the shame. But He has something to look forward to. The joy that was set before Him. Again, it's suffering by itself. A lot of time overwhelms us. But if we look beyond that, if we look beyond the suffering, look beyond the circumstances, there is joy. There is joy that's set in front of us. I think you think I never finish, right? The last point is, it's really I want to share. It's really in my heart. It's I think I sort of like repeat now myself in this case. It's really Philippians 3:7-8, chapter 3, verse 7-8. It's the chorus we sing. What things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Ye weary, and I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the full knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and to count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I think it's, again, it's just where practical. You know, it's not something you say, okay, I take that, but and not really make that apply in the life ourselves. Support, you know, the text say all things. No escape. All inclusive. Everything. Because, you know, it's there's two things here. As I mentioned before, sometimes we learn from comparisons. If you look at the excellency of the full knowledge of Christ and compare to things that we might lay down, there's no comparisons. To Paul, there's no comparisons. And to us, there ought to be no comparisons. So it's, let me just summarize. You know, it's truly good news. It's not something that should get us down. You know, it's, remember, I read in Timothy that, you know, Paul looking forward to the crown of righteousness that's waiting for him. And that's all, and he also mentioned that. That's for everyone who loves the appearing of the Lord himself, right? It's truly for us too. So let me just summarize. Well, it's the Lord who holds on our hands, good news. It's our brothers and sisters, it's their traveling and their prayers. It's the nature of the eternal life in us, so there's no escape. It's the love of God that drives us to follow Him. Knowing the Lord, there shouldn't be any moment of any dull moment, any time that's boring, right? Always consider Jesus. I think that's very key. Always consider Jesus. Otherwise, we'll lose focus. You know, it's I once heard a story. Well, I shouldn't say a story. I think it's an experience too. It's when we're young, we learn how to ride bicycles. And the advice is always, don't look at the ground. Look in front of you. When you look at the ground, you're gonna fall. Make sure you look at the ground, you fall. It's consider Jesus. Look at Him. Then your way is straight. And also count all things to be lost. Count all things to be lost. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we do want to give thanks to You. Lord, this is Your words. Lord, that I do want to pray the Holy Spirit may take it, to be active in all our life. Lord, that Your word is sharper than the two-edged sword, able to pierce through, able to separate the soul and the spirit. Oh Lord, may Your word do the work in us. So then, Lord, that it's at the end, when we come to the throne, when we come to the judgment seat, Lord, indeed, there is the crown of righteousness waiting for every one of us. Lord, hold on our hands. Lord, that we know it's not what we can do, but it's by Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, may it be that, Lord, that You grant us Your grace, a grace to pursue You, a grace to follow You, the grace to enable us to lay down all things for the knowledge of our Lord Yourself. Oh, Lord, we know we cannot do, but, Lord, that You can. You are the one who started the work, and You will finish the work. You will finish the good work. Lord, we do thank You, Lord, and we pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.